Déjà, ça m'achetait Ekadashi Bhava. 8 8 or 7 or 9. And the question is which bhava is more important or more how to say? Yeah, maybe like that. Which is more important from this 8?
The devotee is asking a question about some very highly fortunate and rare devotees following the path of Rag Marg, who have received the awareness of their Siddha Sarup by the mercy of Sri Guru, or by Sri Krishna directly, or some other means they may somehow fortunately come in contact with their eternal spiritual identity and begin to meditate on Radha and Krishna's pastimes in that Siddha Sarup, what is often called Siddha Deha or Mandri Sarup, if the person is in Kamanuga Bhakti and Rag Marg. And he will receive, he or she, at the time of Diksha, from Guru, not necessarily the time of Diksha at all, but whenever, receive in one way, will receive from Guru what they call Ekadash Bhav, that the Siddha Deha or the Siddha Sarup has Ekadash or Ekadas. I often heard people say Ekadash. Ekadash Bhav. Bhav means conditions. Bhav doesn't mean like Priti and Bhav and Prem. It's not that type of Bhav. It's Bhav. Bhav means a condition. You say Bhavasagar. Bhavasagar means a condition of material existence, a state of existence, Bhava. So Bhava means 11 conditions, 11 aspects, 11 aspects or conditions of the Siddha Sarup. And the devotee is asking which one's the most important. And those, we see, we use this term Ekadash Bhav, and we talk about 11, but practically what I've seen, myself and others, they don't have 11. Or I don't know how they're counting. It depends on how you count it, but somehow depends on what you want to count. But it seems like most have seven or six, seven or eight, or maybe nine, or maybe 10 maximum if you count one category as two. Like if you say one of the 11 is your nivas. Nivas means place of residence. So generally that's combined as one, barsana and yavat. That's called nivas. You're born, the gopi will take birth in barsana and Boma Vrindavan from the womb of a transcendental gopi and get a transcendental body to begin learning all the final aspects of sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav. So one will have the qualification and the sufficient levels and experience and understanding of different feelings and intensities of prema to properly assist Mahabhavati Radharani in her Astakaliya Leelas in various seva circumstances or situations. So that sadhana siddha mandri upasaka will, in that spiritual form, in Boma Vrindavan, Prakat Leela, receive further training directly from Srimati Radharani, directly from Sri Guru, and directly from Ashtasakis and Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, Tulsi Manjari, and all these aspects of perfectly serving Radharani and Krishna, and all the different feelings and bhavas, they'll be understood by their witnessing them and experiencing them and being explained about them from their teachers, their Prem Gurus, the Sakis. Now for the sadhaka, so that gopi will take birth in barsana, then be married. I mean that mandri, let's say be birth in barsana, then move to yavat. When Radharani gets married, it moves to yavat. Then the mandri will marry in yavat and stay there. Some acharyas like Narottam Das Thakur, he says, when will I be married in yavat? So Narottam is preaching that one is that mandris are married. There's only two choices, either all mandris are married or all mandris are unmarried. It's not like you can have a choice like, well, I'm going to stay brahmachari for a while and then maybe get married later. It's all part of, it depends on how the particular parivar, thank you, thanks. How the parivar sees it, you know, how they, what their understanding of that point of philosophy is, whether all the mantris are married or unmarried. And that's so there's... Yes, go to the kitchen. So that sometimes that nivas is divided into two. Usually it's varsana / yavat as a place of residence. It's called nivas. Nija vas becomes nivas. Nija means mind. Vas means residence. So if you divide that into two, then you might have 10. But I have seen the Siddha Pranali Diksha Patras charts of 4, maybe 5 different devotees from different parivars. And I haven't seen anyone with 11. I've seen 7, 8, 9. The only one and only place I ever saw with 11 was on internet. Someone had photocopied from a book, and they put it on the internet, the Siddha Pranali chart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in there, in that chart, he lists 11. There's 11 actually listed there. And the names of those 11, I discussed this with my teacher, and they're already included. He says something called Parakashta. You know, you read in Jiva Dharma or Harinam Chintamani, when he's describing Ekadas Bhav, one of them is Parakashta, and the other one is Agya. Agya means the order for Seva, order for Guru. So then he has those, plus he has Seva, plus he has the Yuteshri, etc. But I those two categories I've never seen. And some of my friends have seen many more. They've never seen either. So the term is used, Ekadash Bhav, but practically, realistically, no one gets exactly 11. That's the first point. We're talking about these bhavas, which means conditions. So your question is, like for example, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's chart, it says Agya, Seva. I discussed this with my teacher, and he's saying Agya means order. Order from your Yuteshri group leader Sakhi or your Guru Sakhi or Tulsi Mandri, Rupa Mandri to do different sevas. But part of the 8 or 9 that everyone I've ever seen gets from Guru is a seva. You get a particular seva. For example, your Guru, sometimes the Guru even asks you. The Guru may tell you your Mandri name, and he'll tell you your skin complexion color, transcendental form color, and the form of your transcendental dress, and all these things. Then he'll say, what seva would you like to do eternally? What particular special seva would you like to do to please Radharani? And then you say, oh, I'd like to play Veena. So then Gurudev will say, all right, then you're seva. So under the category of seva, it says playing Veena. So that's seva. But in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's chart, he has the category seva and agya. To make 11. But agya means order to do seva. You follow? So my teacher explained, and in seva, you have your one mukhya seva. It's playing veena or cooking or massaging the feet or whatever. But then, at any time within that category of seva, your guru, someone may say, do some other seva. Like you ever heard of something called a temple commander? And he says, Prabhu, what's your seva? Oh, I'm a book distributor. Okay, great. What are you doing now? Oh, it's raining. We're not going out. Okay, clean the temple. No, that's not my save. That's not my save. I'm booked to. Hey, look, Prabhu. You know, they use the word Prabhu. I don't know why. Prabhu is for God, but anyway. Look, Krishnadas. It's raining. The book distributors are all sitting around sleeping. Now, we need some help cleaning the temple and cutting up the vegetables for the feast. So then you, on order or on request, you'll do so many sevas. You understand? The main service. So Vishnu Chakravarti explains, and Sankalpa Kalpajrum, and Narottam Das Thakur Mahashaya explains in Prem Bhakti Chandrika and Prarthana, and Raghunath Das Goswami Pad explains in Vilap Kusumanjali, that all the different sevas, all so many sevas that are done by so many different Ashtasakhis of Radharani and Nitya Parishads, the mantri can do all those services. Because in those books that I mentioned, by those great Nityasiddha associates, Narottam, Raghunath Das, and Vishwanath, they're doing all the sevas. Oh, Radharani, when will I brush your hair? When will I paint your feet? When will I make your tambo? When will I play veena? When will I sing for you? When will I walk with you? When will I escort you on Abhisara? They're doing everything. you know, they're like hogging the seva, as we say. Hogging is American slang. And, hey, you're doing all the seva. There's no seva for me. No, there's. I'm doing all the seva, and you can do all the seva too. You do all the seva with your Radharani and Krishna. I'll do all the seva with my Radharani and Krishna. It's that personal. It's that individual. And this is the fact. This is real. So this is the projection, and this is the projection and the direction that they give by their writings and by their teachings for the sadhaka to emulate. The word emulate means to follow. So we as sadhakas, we can think I have this seva of playing veena. So to play the veena, I like Radharani gave me prasadi because she was so happy with me in different services. So one time when I was learning veena from Radharani. Radharani took me by the hand and said, listen, Sakhi Manjari, you're playing nicely, but I want to teach you some special ragas. So now all the Sakhis, they're relaxing. You come with me. So then Radharani will take that Sakhi by the hand and take her to a cave in Govardhan. And Radharani will leave word with some Sakhi who's at the gate. I'm just going with this Manjari to teach some veena, and I'll be back. So then the Sakhi and the Radharani and the takes Manjari to one cave in Govardhan, and she teaches to play. And while Radharani's playing, the Manjari notices how beautifully she and hears and notices how beautifully Radharani's playing, and she notices, oh, Radharani has one ring on each finger of her left hand, five rings. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and on this hand, Radharani only has two rings, so that's seven rings. These three fingers are the right thumb, the right index finger, the right middle finger, there's no ring. Finger ring, right? Ring. So the Manjari's thinking, why is that? Why is Radharani? Because I saw Chandravali. Chandravali has rings on every finger. Why is that? And then when Radharani was playing the veena, the Manjari had this question in her mind, and she was looking at Radharani, and she realized, oh, if you want to effectively pluck the strings of the veena, if you have rings on any of these three fingers, it won't be so fast and won't be able to play so well. So the Manjari was observing that and having that idea. And then Radharani said, have you paid attention? Have you heard the raga? Would you like to try? So the Manjari, she doesn't have any rings. She's like, so she starts playing very nicely, exactly like Radharani was playing. No one can play exactly like Radharani, because her every single note that Radharani vibrates is full of Mahabhav. And the Manjaris, they only have Bhavalas. Their Bhavalas Rati is that their Bhavas rise in their heart in reflection, Abhirupata, or in reflection of Radharani's Bhav. So the origin of the Bhav is Mahabhavati Radha. And the Manjaris, because they're Tanmayatam, Tanmay with Radharani's Bhav, then that's reflected, that ulas, that Bhava rises in their heart, and then they feel the sattvic vikars and the crying and trembling, everything Radharani feels. But Radharani is the origin of all of that. She's the supreme Mahabhavati. So she's playing, so the Manjari's playing, but she can't play with that same Bhav because she's not Radharani. Only Radharani has that Mahabhav. No one else has. But the Manjaris, unlike any other of the Asasakis, the Manjaris have the closest experience of Radharani's Mahabhav because they have this special rati, this special aspect of the Manjaris, Sakhi Manjaris, Radharani's Kankaris, special aspect of the Madhura Rati. Madhura Rati is their Stahi Rati. So a special aspect of this called Bhavalas Rati. It's not a separate Sanchari Rati, because Sanchari Rati comes and goes. And Stahi Rati is always permanent. So the Stahi Rati of the Manjari is Madhura Rati. She's always in a conjugal mood of love, supporting Radha and Krishna's conjugal, intimate, amorous, loving affairs. But she has this so much identification with Radharani that she loves Radharani more than Krishna, Radha Sneha Adhika. So she had, and then she's totally tanmaya. She's tanmay with Radharani's Bhav. That Radharani's Bhav comes in her heart and creates a new aspect of her Madhura Rati. It's called Bhavalas Rati. And some Sakhis may have that also, but this is all the mantras have this Bhavalas Rati, please forgive me for the analogy, but it's kind of like a turbocharger mixed on their Madhura Rati. You follow? Turbocharger means in a car, sometimes in these sports cars, they have the engine, then there's a button, there's the main engine of the car, and there's a small engine attached to that. And when you press that button, it gives more boost to your car. It's kind of like two engines in one, especially in Porsches and very costly cars like this. So you press, it's called turbo charge, means more boost. You follow? So this is the Bhavalas, what's called the Bhavalas Rati, the Manjris. So now the Manjri is playing very nicely, the Veena, and Radharani is very happy. And she says, "Oh Manjri, oh Navadasi, I want to reward you. So I want to give you my rings." So Radharani takes off one. "Just give me your hand." She takes her hand. She says, "Okay." And this way. She puts one ring on the hand and then this, like that. This is five on this finger and three here. And two here. And then Manjri says, and then Radharani says, "So Navadasi, you're probably thinking in your mind, why these three fingers? No. So I'll ask you, why am I not wearing a ring on my right middle finger, index finger, or thumb? Do you know why, Navadasi?" Navadasi will say, "Oh Radharani, by your karuna, by your mercy, by your inspiration, by your prerna, by your kripa, my idea, I'm not sure, is that if you don't have rings on those three fingers so that you can nicely play the veena, because if the ring's there, it may get in the way or may make its own sound or may scratch on the, make a sound on the string. So then it's just clean, pure sound." And then you give that answer, and Radharani says, "Yes, that's correct." And she takes your right hand and puts two rings on your right hand. Now the Manjri's thinking, "Oh, now I have this wonderful Radha Prasadi. Radha Ratna Prasadi. Radha Ratna Prasadi." Do you understand what this means? Ratna means jewel, and Prasadi means remnants. Radha Ratna Prasadi, the remnants of Radharani's Prasad. And then the Manjri's thinking, "This is so I can play the veena. But I don't play veena that much. Whenever Radharani wants me to play the veena, sometimes in rasa dance I play veena. Many times I play. But then one day, many times when Radharani and Krishna are waking up in Nishant Lila, in the Kunja, Nikunja Bhanga Lila, then the Manjri is seeing that Radharani is sleeping on top of Krishna's chest. She just fell asleep there. And her Radharani's head is resting on Krishna's left arm, this part, upper arm. And she's lying like this. And Krishna's like this, and like this. Very beautiful. And the Manjri sees that Radharani's hair and Krishna's hair is all disheveled. And disheveled means disturbed, you know, disheveled. The word disheveled means, and it's not like it's all here or there. So Radharani's hair is caught in Krishna's nose ring, and Krishna's hair is caught in Radharani's nose ring, and Radharani's makar kundalas, they're all. So now the Manjri, she sees, "Oh, this is the time for my service." And then she immediately rushes in, because she sees the sun is starting to rise. It's coming now. It's Nishant Lila. It's like 4:30 in the morning, 5, it's coming. Some very little light is coming. And the Manjri's worried. If they don't separate all their hairs, they can't even move. What to speak of, sit up or run out of the kunja and go back home. They can't move. They're all like almost like tied up like a straitjacket with all their hair like this. And and I have to do it in such a way they don't wake. I don't disturb them. I don't disturb their mood. So when the Manjri goes inside, she's wearing her Radha Ratna Prasadi. And then she's looking at that prasadi. Then she starts separating their hairs. from the Radharani's hair from Krishna's nose ring, and Krishna's hair from Radharani's nose ring. Nice prop, huh? I can bring my props, like in some jugglery, and all the props and this thing and that thing. And so then when she's doing that, and the mandri has long fingernails, and just with her finger, then she realized, oh, mainly I can see that I don't have any rings on my right hand thumb, index finger, or middle finger, because Radharani only gave me her 8 rings as prasadam. And that not only is this very nice not having rings here to play veena, but it's also very helpful for picking the hairs out, without, because the hair itself may get caught in my rings. So mostly I'm using my right hand and my fingernails to move all the hairs out. So that's another reason. So now, this is a very beautiful pastime. And then later when Radharani wakes up, and later when I escort Radharani and we go to Nandagaon to cook Krishna's breakfast about 7:30 in the morning, and then I'm taking off those same rings, I'm taking off Radharani's hand, which may disturb her cooking, and some of her long necklaces, which may get hit the fire or whatever. So then I'm speaking to Radharani, and I'm saying, "Oh, Srimati Radharani, I'm so happy that you gave me these wonderful prasadi rings from your fingers." And I had another realization about how perfect everything you do. Everything you do, Srimati Radharani, is absolutely perfect. And you gave me these 8 rings, and that leaves these 3 fingers of my right hand free with no rings, which, as you taught me, and as I saw with you playing, and as I learned myself, it makes it very easy and efficient to pluck the strings of the veena for your pleasure and the pleasure of Shyam. But I found another reason. This morning when I was disentangling your hair from Krishna's in the kunj, when you're waking up, that by not having any rings on these fingers, I could very quickly disentangle your hair without worrying that maybe your hair will get disentangled from your nose ring and earrings and get entangled in my finger rings. Get entangled in my finger rings. So in this way, the sadhaka meditates. So the answer to your question is, of the Ekadash Bhav, the most important bhav is the seva. That is why I told you this example of seva. Bhava means condition. Bhav and prema and mahabhava is another thing. But the ekadash bhav means bhavas. It's really more like 8 or 9 or 10, whatever it is. It's your nam bhav, your name bhav, and your age bhav, and your complexion bhav, and your dress bhav, and your residence bhav, and your seva kunj bhav, and your sabab bhav, and all these like this. Yuteshri, etc. So you're asking the question of the Ekadash Bhav, Ekadash, whatever it is. So all, when you get to the, what's the most important one? Most important one is the Seva Bhav, the condition of Seva. And now taking this Bhava, mean condition, now taking it to mean mood, Bhav. Like we say, Gobi Bhav, long A Bhav, means the mood, the feelings, the attitude, the identity of a servant, a dasi, 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 anodasi. Radha paricharani, radha para aracharani, anucharani. I am a maid servant of the lotus feet of Radharani. Shri radha para anucharani chatura. I'm a very expert, clever servant of the lotus feet of Radharani. So this is the most important thing to develop. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't so much matter whether one has a spiritual body or not. What matters is having that bhav of a gopi, gopi bhav. And what is that gopi bhav? Is that mood and that feeling to want to please Radharani at every moment, at every second, and want to be with Radharani at every moment, every second. And of course, pleasing Radharani means so many services and pleasures bringing and doing for Krishna also. So ultimately, serving Radharani means serving Radha and Krishna together, with a special emphasis on Radharani's pleasure and comfort. You can't really separate Radha from Krishna. So this is the bhav. So cultivating that bhav, reading about the mandris and how they feel and how they identify with Radharani's feelings and how they serve her so attentively and how they miss her, how they feel so much they're dying in separation from her. This is all anukulya or favorable for cultivating gopi bhav. And gopi bhav is love for a gopi. Gopi bhav means love of a gopi, love for a gopi. If I say Kanta Bhav, that means love for my beloved. Kanta means beloved. So when we say Gopi Bhav, it means the love of a gopi, the love that a gopi has, and the love that a gopi expresses for another gopi. You follow? I have love, pure love for all the gopis, and I have complete love, for extra special love for Radharani. Radha Sneha Adik. Adik means extra, excessive, lots of. And now I show that love, I express that love by seva, by vina seva, by massaging the feet, by chamara, by cooking, by thousands of sevas. This is the most important aspect of the Siddha Sarup, is the feeling and mood and attitude of being a dasi kinkari. Ai nanda tanaja kinkaram. This particular verse, according to the viewpoint of the subjective analysis of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this particular verse of Shikshastakam represents the state of ruchi. I think so. Because in Bhajan Rahasyam, he explains that nam nam akari, no, it says nayanam galadashadaraya, that represents bhav. Because there's astasatvic vikars there. Then the next verse is yugayutam, that represents prema, because after bhava comes prema, that's viraha prema and separation. And then the last one represents sambhog prema in union. Break me by your loving embrace. So this is the mood of ruchi. The ruchi, the desire to be a kinkar, the taste. Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram. Kinkara means, I just want to serve you. So kinkar in female gender is called kinkari. Kinkari means paricharani, anucharani, dasi, manjari, maidservant, or footmaiden, or maidservant of Srimati Radharani. So this is, and no one will ever get that state of Gopi Bhav. No one will ever attain that state of Gopi Bhav, that type of ruchi, without having the utmost humility. That's the stepping stone leading to this goal of Krishna Prem. Chinara pi suni chena turori vase shuna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his subjective analysis and view on that verse, which I have not found anywhere else, but he has the idea, which is nice to consider, and we can see some logic to it and some reason behind it, but we don't find any backing by our other acharyas, by the Purvacharyas, Sadgoswamis, etc. But he says that Trinada Pisuni Chena represents Nishta. Nishta. Why Nishta? Because Sadahari. Nishta in what? Nishta in Nam. Nishta in Nam, Nishta in humility, Nishta in tolerance, Nishta in pridelessness, and Nishta in respect for all. There's five forms of Nishta described if you take this, expand upon this viewpoint of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There's five forms of Nishta. So what I was discussing according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's view in Bhajan Rahasyam, this verse, Ai Nanda Tanaja Kinkaram, this is called Asakti. Asakti means attachment. So what I'm fully identifying myself as a kinkar, as a humble, tasty, humble servant, prideless, humble, respectful, tasty, loving servant of Nanda Nandan. I'm fully identifying with that, so much so that I want to be attached to his lotus feet wherever he goes. Stita Duli Sadrisham Vichintaya. That's called a sakti. That's, of course, this is the view only of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I have not seen this in any Goswami writings, nor Baladev Vidyabhushan, nor Vishnath Chakravarti, nor Narottam Das Thakur. But it's a very interesting idea and very nice presentation showing the parallel tracks. But it's his idea, rather revolutionary in one sense. But it makes some sense to it, you can stretch it, and it's not that it's wrong, and it's not wrong to think like that or wrong to feel like that. It's okay. That's one Acharya's viewpoint, which is can be accepted. But I really like this. So he said there's nishta is trinada pisunichana. So I was correct. There's five aspects of nishta. Then if you have that type of nishta, then coming in nishta, because all these stages of bhakti development are overlapping. In the very beginning of a doshada, there's a drop of prema. Prema means bhakti. Bhakti means ladini and samvit. That's why when people dance in kirtan, they're in ecstasy. They're dancing. Are you in ecstasy? I don't know what ecstasy. I'm in bliss. What is that bliss? That bliss is one drop of ladini shakti. Just see how crazy you go with one drop of ladini shakti. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, Prabhu, it's bliss, it's bliss. Kirtan is so good, so good, so good. That's one drop. And the premi bhakta, at the level of prema, he's swimming in premananda sagar. He's swimming in an ocean of prema. Crying, hair standing and running around like a madman. Lokabhaya. Evam brata, nama priyam. So we were mentioning about how the devotee is so much absorbed in his nishta, that he develops these five types of nishta. I mean, we're just taking a flight on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's concept about Shikshastakam, verse number 3, representing the stage of bhakti known as nishta. Because the last line of that verse spoken by Mahaprabhu is Kirtaniya Sadahari. So Sadahari means Sada means always. And Nishta means steadiness. Naishtiki Bhakti. Every day. Nityam Bhagavata Seveya. Naishtiki. So every day hearing Bhagavatam, that means steadiness. That means Sada. Sadahari, Sada Bhagavat Shravan. Sada Guru Seva, Sada Thakurji Seva, Sada Smaran, Sada. So that you can, it's easy, it's not too much of a stretch to see that you can say, yes, this represents a stage or condition of nishta. So he started like that, he wrote about that, and he preached that. So that's acceptable, it's all right. It's a nice idea. But actually we see, we have to have five nishtas if we want to get to the next stage. The next stage, which is ruchi in the development of bhakti, the advancement of bhakti, and he equates, Bhaktivinoda Thakur equates ruchi to the having no taste for the material world. When you lose your taste for the material world, then you can get a taste for Krishna. So when you have a Krishna ruchi, then you don't have Maya ruchi. What is Maya ruchi? Woman is Maya ruchi. Money is Maya ruchi. Followers and prestige and pratishtha is Maya ruchi. And being distracted by Google, being distracted by Google ruchi and news ruchi and flowery Vedas and all these things and all kinds of karmakandiya ideas and astrology and pujas and agnihotras and all this is maya ruchi. So it all comes under the category, the first line in the Shikshastakam, nadanam na sundarim kavitam va jagadhisha kamiye mama janmani janmani shve bhavatad bhakti rahoituki tui. I am experiencing so much ruchi from bhakti that bhakti is so nice and so relishable and so wonderful that even if I take another birth and another birth and another birth, I don't care. I don't want liberation. I don't want mukti. I don't want mystic cities. I don't want women. I don't want men. I don't want money. I don't want position. I don't want honor. I don't want respect. I don't want pratishtha. I don't want puja. I don't want kamani, kanak, pratishtha. Low puja pratishtha. I only want bhakti, bhakti, bhakti. Seva, seva, seva. Krishna, seva, Krishna, seva. There's so much ruchi, so much taste, so much pleasure, so much satisfaction, and so much happiness in serving Radha Govinda. So this is nishta, and then leading to ruchi. So the main point of your answer to your question is the service, the serving attitude and the serving mood. And it's not. It sounds easy. Sounds small because we hear that when we first begin devotion, that we should have this type of bhakti, this mood of das anodas. But that's how we begin our devotion, and that's how we perfect our devotion, and that's the perfectional expression of devotion, is to be a das anodas of Krishna or a dasi anodasi of Radharani. So I was mentioning, there was one nice verse that explains that when a devotee comes to this platform of prema, then I was explaining how there's a drop of bhakti. I was explaining how there's a drop of, we're in a level of anartha nivritti. But I said it's not black and white, the stage between, I'm in anartha nivritti. Then I close that, I go out of that room, I open a door, now I'm in the room called Nishta. Now I'm in that Nishta room for a while, then I close that door and go to another room, and the house of bhakti is called Ruchi. It's not like that. They're all mixing together. So there's, as I said, because prema is the last stage, Krishna prema. But that prema is in the first stage. Shraddha, if we have shraddha in Radha and Krishna, we have shraddha, faith in Krishna, ado shraddha dita. We have faith in Radha and Krishna. Yes, I believe in Radha Krishna. Yes, I want to serve Radha and Krishna. Yes, I want to love Radha and Krishna. That means there's a drop of prema in your mind, in your heart, given to you by Krishna or Vaishnav, Guru, whatever. So that's ado shraddha tata sarasanga bhajana kriya nartha nivritisha. Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that bhakti begins with shraddha. Bhakti means prema. Bhakti is a drop of prema. Prema or bhakti means a mixture of ladani, a drop of ladani, and a drop of samvit. So you have some samvit, Veda. You have some knowledge. What knowledge? I want Radha and Krishna are God and Goddess, Bhagavan and Bhagavati, the supreme divine consort of Bhagavan, Srimati Radharani, and the supreme form of Bhagavan, my worshipable Ishtadeva, Sri Krishna. And I want to worship them, love them, and serve them. That's bhakti gyan. That's samvit. And now I have that shraddha. So now there is some prema, a drop of prema. Now that shraddha increases in intensity by sadhu sangha, by serving mahatmas and serving devotees, and any spiritual activity may increase our faith. And then we get to the point of surrender, sharanagati. And then bhajana, then we take diksha. That's the second stage. Sadhu sangha, second stage. Associate with sadhus and take diksha. Then third stage is bhajana kriya. So once we take diksha, then our life of bhajan begins. Life of pure bhakti. Before the diksha and bhajan, the bhajan and diksha stage, that is bhakti abhas. That is bhakti, because I said bhakti is there in shraddha. It's called bhakti abhas. It's not sukriti. Sukriti is totally, the word sukriti is all material, for material benefits, for material results. Bhakti is all transcendental. From beginning it's transcendental, to the end it's transcendental. It's just a matter of how pure and how mixed it is. It's bhakti abhas, it's an abhas, it's a shadow, it's a reflection. And then it's beginning bhakti. Then it's mixed with gyan, then it's mixed with karma. It may stay mixed with karma and gyan and anartha nivritti. You're initiated by guru, you're practicing anartha nivritti, but gyan and karma are mixed inside your bhakti. That's an adulteration. And then you come to nishtha, and even there's gyan and karma mixed in there. That's why the purest bhakti, the shuddha bhakti, is described as anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulina krishnanam shilam bhakti uttamam. The uttam bhakti, the topmost form of bhakti, there's no mixture of karma, no astrology, no this, that, no jnana, no anything else. Just total dependence on Krishna, total sharanagati, fully embracing all the six aspects of sharanagati. Sankalpa, like that, the six aspects of sharanagati. You know? How's it going? How's the story? No. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam. Rakshishyatiti vishwasa, guptitrei varanantata. Karpanya, atmanakshepa, like this. Karpanye. Atmanakshepa, gana sharanagati. Six forms of types of sharanagati. So that becomes fully in place. So finally, when we come to prema, then when we come to the level of the stage of prema, then there's so much bhakti and there's so much ruchi. Because I was saying the new bhakta, he's a new bhakta. He has Bhakti Abbas. He's not initiated. He comes to Sunday feast, but he has this much faith in Radha and Krishna, and he believes in them. So he has some Bhakti, and he has some Samvit, and he has Ladini. And the Sunday feast cares, Hare Krishna, oh, take me, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's Ruchi. He's experiencing Ruchi. He's in bliss. It's not fake. Prabhupada himself said so many times, this is not a ball dance. Why am I? You read Prabhupada's teachings. He said, why are my devotees dancing like this? The soul is dancing. They're in ecstasy. Prabhupada wasn't using a pep talk. It wasn't a sales talk. It wasn't a pep talk. A full foundation of philosophy. Because it could be, he's just trying to encourage, see my disciples in ecstasy. What do you mean they're ecstasy? They took a bunch of LSD. They came inside the temple on 2nd Avenue in 1966, and they're just jumping like animals. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They're on an acid trip. Prabhupada rejected all that. Because if they're on an acid trip, they would just be sleeping in a Thompson Square Park or looking at some wall. Wow, man. Far out, man. The wall is moving, man. What color? LSD, some drugs, and it takes some drugs. But they're looking, they're raising their hand, they're chanting Hare Krishna. Okay, they have long hair, and maybe they are hippies, but they're tasting some bliss of prema, some ladini. That's the beginning. And then this famous verse I was saying, when one finally comes to prema, then he really has an experience of bliss. And then what happens is explained in 11th canto Bhagavatam. It's also cited in Adi Lila, Anti Lila, and all throughout the Goswami books in Bhakti Sandarbha, they quote this verse over and over again. Evam vrata swa priyanama kirtya. You know this verse? Evam vrata swa priyanama kirtya. Jat anurago juta chitta uche. Hasatyato roditi roti gayat. Yun madhavan nityati lokabhaya. Lokabhaya means. Nrityati means natya. He's dancing. Lokabhaya means he doesn't care anything what anybody else says. He's far away from that lokabhaya. He's way outside the people. He doesn't care what they think. Says, he had Evam Vrata Supriyanama. He has his favorite name of Bhagavan. Hare Krishna Mantra. Govinda Jaya Jaya Radhe Radhe Sri Krishna Sharanam Mama. Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Shyam, whatever the mantra. And so Vrata Priya, he's fixed in the Vrata of always chanting this name. Priyanama, it's his dear, it's his beloved name. It's like his wife or husband, a beloved dear one. Evam Vrata Swa Priya Nama Kirtya. And Kirtya, he's always dancing and singing this kirtan of this. Jat Anurago Juta Chit. So he's Anuragi, he's attained the state of Anurag. And the state of Anurag, his chitta, his heart, his chitta, is melting. Druta means it's melted. He has a very soft heart, very soft and gentle and beautiful, like a Sukumari Kishori. Sukumari Kishori. The Manjaris and Radharani describes Sukumari Kishori. Kishori means a very adolescent girl. Sukumari, Kumari means a virgin. It means a very tender girl. Sometimes Radharani is called Sukumari, but not. But it's very gentle, soft, gentle. So this Druta, his heart is melting because of his anurag, his intense attachment for the Radha Nam or Krishna Nam. Then what happens? Sometimes he laughs, hasati, ha, Hare Radhe, Radhe, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He laughs. Or he cries, oh, Krishna, where are you? I saw you in a sporty and I don't see you. Oh, Radharani, oh, Krishna, when will I see you again? I was holding your hand. I was about to put a ring on your hand. And then I lost the vision. I couldn't see your hand. I couldn't see the ring. And I oh, Radhe. So he's crying. And then Roti Gayati. Then he's singing. And that Unmadavan. He's totally mad in love of God. So this is the highest experience of bhakti. The madness of ecstasy. Dancing in divine madness. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in front of Jagannath in the Rath Yatra. So that ocean of bliss. Ocean of bliss, Premananda Sindhu. Premananda Ananta Sindhu, ocean of unlimited loving bliss. Ocean of unlimited loving bliss. They are swimming in that ocean by chanting this pure holy name of Krishna, Radha. And they don't care anything for outsiders. That's the level of prema. Now you take it down to the bhakta, to the level of anartha nivritti. He doesn't care for outsiders. He shaves his head. He puts on bed sheets. He puts on orange bed sheets. People say, what are you doing in your bed sheets? Once you don't even have, you get out of bed, you wrap your sheets around you, you come out on the street and bang the drum and say, Hare Krishna, and beg a dime and a quarter for a roti? Can't you even get dressed, you dirty bum? We used to go on Harinam in the 70s in Los Angeles and New York, that people would say this, hey, what are you wearing? Because people, when they have a bed sheet, they usually have peach color, nice peach color, or pink, or green, or blue, you know, whatever, like this. So it's kind of just coarse, you know, cotton, simple cotton, no print, no design, anything. And sometimes that's what they were. They were actually bed sheets because we couldn't get a dhoti, so we'd dye some bed sheets so we could just make a dhoti out of it. So people, I've had people say in my face, you know, envious people, you know, and negative people, they say, oh, why you don't even, you're so late, you guys are so filthy, dirty, you don't even bathe, you're sleeping in your bed, and you say, oh, I got to go out, and I have to beg, I have to get some money, I have to beg, I'm starving. And you just roll out of bed, and you wrap one bed sheet around your bottom for a dhoti, and you throw this other thing, you call it a chudder over your shoulder, you don't have any shirt, you just throw this chudder over your shoulder, you're wearing two orange bed sheets, you're out here going bang, 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 and then giving me this magazine written in Sanskrit, I can't even read this thing. The whole thing is in Sanskrit, and you're asking me for a dollar. And then I give you the dollar, and I see you go down the street, and you buy some peanut butter and some cream cheese and some loaf of bread, and then you sit in your van and you eat this cream cheese and loaf of bread. So this is a kind of thing that they would criticize when we did Harinam Sankirtan. But lokabhaya, like this verse says, unmadava nrityati lokabhaya. We didn't care what the people think. Because to shave your head in the modern world, people think you're cracked, you're a prisoner, you're from a lunatic asylum, you're from a psychiatric hospital, you escaped. No, because they shave up those people in the hospital to identify them in case they escape. Oh, there he is. You know, because when they come in the hospital, these crazy people, they shave their heads. So if they get out, they escape, then people can easily catch them. You know? So it's, oh, you must be from a crazy hospital. So amazing. Amazing situation. So this is, bhakti is so transforming. Bhakti is so transforming and so elevating that whether you experience one drop of bhakti as a bhakta, as in what we call new bhakta, it's, you feel ecstatic bliss when you chant Hare Krishna. You feel blissful when you take prasadam. You feel blissful when you see beautiful Thakurji dressed beautifully. You feel blissful when you see a new holy place. You feel blissful when you meet a great sadhu. Or you feel blissful when you hear a great kirtan or take part in a big festival. You feel blissful. You feel blissful if you hear a beautiful Hari kirtan or a beautiful bhajan or a Hari katha. What is that bliss? That bliss is a drop of prem or two drops or three drops. And eventually when you experience that bliss of the little drops of bhakti, then you don't really care. Oh, we don't see you coming much to the club anymore. Oh, you know, we heard you got some initiation from some guru or something like that. Yeah, I have a guru now, I'm practicing bhakti. Oh, we see that. Seems like you've changed. You seem like a different person. Oh, I don't know. I feel a little different. So it's a transformation. Bhakti transforms the mind. In the purification of the heart, which bhakti brings about, automatically there's a simultaneous transformation of the mind, a reformation of the mind, and an elevation of the consciousness, and a reorientation to the way we see reality, and the way we understand life, and the way we feel about ourselves, about people, and about God. This is the beauty of bhakti, from a beginning drop of bhakti to the end when we attain prema and we swim in an ocean of divine agony and separation, and we swim in an ocean of divine ecstatic agony and separation, and we swim in an ocean of divine bliss and joy in union with Radha and Krishna. Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe.